Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. We're so glad you decided to stop by here on your way to wherever you're going this morning. Today, we're going to have an open forum, so that means you can ask whatever question you like about your relationship, and Marcos will be here to help you through it. So if you do have young children in the area of your radio, you might want to usher them into the next room because we're not quite sure what topics will be discussed this morning, and it will be of an adult nature at times, but of course, tastefully adult nature. So just take these few moments to remove your children from the room if you feel the need to. I am your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, and here is your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. And I just realized I forgot to give you the number to call. So in order to reach us, you have to dial 855-454-5905. Now, here is Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany. Thank you so much for giving out the number. And good morning to all our guests and all our friends who are decided to listen and decided to join us this morning. As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. God in heaven, thank you so much for this morning, God, for this opportunity to be able to help couples draw closer to you and closer to each other. Father, I do pray that you will be with us, be with our program in a special way. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. And our theme scripture of the day comes from Ephesians chapter 5. But I'm going to be reading out of the Message translation, and it starts off in verse 21 like this. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. Husbands, provide leadership to his wife the way that Christ does to his church, not domineering, but cherishing. So just as Christ submits to the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words invoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They really are doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one, one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself in loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. So we want to hear from you. You know, this obviously the scripture is a mystery when it comes to Christ and the church and the love that he has. It's like one thing is clear. He loves the church.
Mm-hmm.
And husbands ought to love their wives the way Christ loves the church. And wives ought to respect their husbands. I mean, this is a scripture so much about love and respect and really submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, again, anything you want to ask, you can ask any question that we just ask that you're tasteful about it. And as Tiffany stated earlier, we have little ones in the room. We advise you to make sure that you probably escort them out the room so you can listen and even engage in the conversation. Of course, we want to encourage you to give us a call and get in on the conversation. Ask whatever you like.
And the number is 855-454-5905.
All right. As we get ready to get some phone calls here, we also want to invite you to visit us on our Facebook page, you could go to www.facebook.com/beyondthevows, and you can post and answer and get in on the conversation. If you've not done this already, we invite you to go to our Facebook page and hit the like button so you can get in on the conversation. We're giving out the number. We do want to hear from you. And then, of course, Tiffany, I have a question for you.
All right. And the number again is 855-454-5905.
All right. So we often, about once a month, try to do this, right? We stop things. We don't have a specific topic. We say, listen, whatever you want to ask. So it can be about divorce. It can be about sexless marriage, intimacy in the relationship, premarital sex, any of these things. Whatever you want to ask about, definitely let's have this conversation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of times I'm wondering, you know, what question would we ask if we can actually ask God himself for a question about our relationship, what will we ask?
I would say, who is my husband and when will I meet him?
Where is he? I'm looking for, show
do
me.
Do I know him already?
Show me.
what
if
I'm
you don't like
ask.
The answer? What if he's like, you know, Tiffany, you know that guy you kept ignoring? What
Lord
about him?
Jesus.
He's the one.
Well, I would have to deal with that differently, wouldn't I? The thing is, the whole not knowing thing, and it's like, I don't know. So, yeah, that would be my question.
Well, if you read the book of Hosea, the answer God had for him was to marry a prostitute.
Mm.
That was crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, what would you do if God's answer is not what you want to hear? It's like, no, God, you must be mistaken.
You sure?
This is not what I want. He's like, yes, I'm sure. I'm trying to send a message to a whole nation. So absolutely. But you're right. You know, there are questions like that, right? Like, who is he? Make it clear. I wonder if some people would just ask, like, God, you know, is there hope for my marriage? Mm. Can we make it? Are we going to make it? You know, others is, did we make a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe what you're asking, you know, just give me clarity. Just,
yeah.
God,
clarity.
Just put it on a big screen. Bam, put his name, his address.
Even if it's a flash, I can speed read, you know.
You just want it quick.
I just want to know what is going on here. So, yeah, that would be my question. And you can ask yours because we're having an open forum this morning, and the number is 855-454-5905. We already have someone on the line. A couple of people are calling in already. And keep in mind, if you are calling and we don't answer right away, we will get to your call. So just have a little patience with us. There are plenty of people who would also like to join the conversation. So just wait a little bit. Right now, we're going to go to Pastor Gary Nelson out of Philadelphia. Pastor Nelson, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We're doing great. We thank you so much for listening and for picking up the phone and calling us this morning.
Great. Marcus, enjoy listening to your show on Saturdays. And Sister Tiffany, enjoy your commentary in support of Brother Marcos as well. And I just was calling this morning, was on my way traveling, and heard Marcos refer to the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. And it just kind of brought to mind a situation that my wife, Mona, and I, we were engaged in doing premarital counseling and marital counseling for couples for the past several years.
Okay.
And that scripture is key. And it speaks to so many things in terms of the challenges that we have in marriages and even marriages within the church, because what it goes to that our nature as human beings, that we are, generally speaking, we're just selfish by nature.
Absolutely.
And when persons enter into a marital relationship, it's about those two parties becoming one, and that model or example that God gives us in terms of the love that Christ shows for the church in the spiritual sense, reminds us that we have to come out of ourselves and that selfish nature and become selfless. And, you know, giving the example of Christ's love towards the church is the perfect model, but it's a distance for us to come from where we are as human beings by nature, in terms of our flesh nature.
Well, you know what's interesting, Pastor Gary, you mentioned about premarital counseling, and I do quite a bit of that as well. And it's interesting how, you know, this scripture is pretty clear cut, and usually couples, when they're wanting to get married, it's so easy for them to just kind of glance over this and say, oh, yeah, of course we're going to submit to one another. Of course we're going to do this. And then they get married, and the test, the truth test comes, like, wait a minute, didn't you make a commitment to submit to one another. Oh, but I didn't know this was going to happen. Or I didn't expect to be hurt in this way. You know, is that your experience as well, Pastor Gary?
Absolutely. And it's I kind of chuckle. It is not funny, but it's humorous that our evaluation of how selfish or submissive that we are is usually far from how others perceive it.
Absolutely.
And I particularly see that with the challenge with men, because they would like to, you know, use to their advantage in that situation. Well, I'm the man, I'm the husband, I'm the head of the house. She's supposed to submit to me. But the scripture clearly says that we are to submit to one another.
Absolutely. It's easy to go to verse 22 and skip 21.
Mm. Correct. Correct. And as in submission, I think that we have to spend time educating folks about what submission really means. It means about it's a yielding. It's not putting yourself in a position to be a doormat for someone.
Pastor Gary, we want to continue on with this conversation. We do have to take a brief break. So if you could hold on, and everyone else who's holding on the line, we'll be right back with you. Just please hold 1 second.
All right.
Okay.
And
not
with that said, yes, just hold on. And with that said, we invite you to call. We're having an open forum today, so you can ask whatever question you have about your relationship. Just give us a call at 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're having an open forum today. So whatever question you may have about your relationship, you have an opportunity to ask. Just dial 855-454-5905. We have Pastor Nelson on the line before. We're going to return to that call. Pastor Nelson, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate your patience. So if you're just tuning in, we were having a conversation with Pastor Gary Nelson, and he actually chuckled when we talked about the fact that sometimes couples have a hard time with Ephesians chapter 5 when they're getting premarital counseling. And he said that perhaps men more than women have a hard time submitting, you know, and so interesting reaction, I would say, but it's true. You may feel like men have a harder time submitting than women do, because maybe in their pride, or what do you think? What's the reason?
Yeah, as I stated earlier, I think that sometimes men come to the table in approaching marriage, and because culturally and even spiritually, God does intend for the man to be the head, just as God is the head. God the Father is the head spiritually. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the God being the triune, but being the head doesn't mean that you use that authority or responsibility, or use that authority irresponsibly, and that the scripture in its entirety, the segment of scripture, talks about, you know, submitting one to another. And so I think that that's a difficult concept from us from a world perspective, that, well, if I'm the head, then, you know, how can I submit? That doesn't quite make sense to us.
I love how the message says it. Peterson writes here where he says, not domineering, but cherishing.
Amen. Amen. Okay. And so, and again, that is modeled in the life of Christ, that Christ is, you know, God in the flesh. But he humbled himself and submitted himself totally to the will of God the Father.
Absolutely.
So even though he was equal with God, he accepted
he took that
to make it robbery to take the low.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor Gary, we really do appreciate you listening and picking up the phone and calling us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
You too.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye now.
Let's go to Laverne calling in from Philadelphia. Laverne, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Laverne.
Hi, guys. I was calling. I have a question. I don't know how to, like, really word it as a question, but, like, friendship in the marriage. I feel like my husband should be my best friend. When I met him, that's kind of like what attracted me to him, because he was really, really a good friend. But it's like, in marriage, we're not friends. He's more protective, it's just not a friendship. And to me, it clashes with the relationship.
Well, let me ask you this. So you felt like you married your best friend, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah, he's not my friend anymore. I can't tell him everything.
How long have you been married?
We've been married for 4 years.
For a year?
Four.
4 years, okay.
Yes.
At what point would you say that you realize, wait a minute, this is not my friend anymore, or we're not friends anymore?
Year one.
So right after, pretty much, you said I do.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question, Laverne, and maybe you have an answer for this or you don't, but would he say that you're friends?
No.
He wouldn't either.
No, and it's frustrating for me, because, like, I like to hang out, and we're pretty young, like, we're pretty young, but I like to hang out. He just works all the time and does not like to hang out. So we don't even, like, intermingle with each other's friends.
So you
kind of get a good idea of how we are, you know, with each other's friends and stuff. So it's like, I have an attitude. Like, I enjoy life. You know, you work, you do what you have to do and take it home. But I like to enjoy life, and I like to hang out with friends and stuff like that. And he works all the time, and he's too tired to hang out. And then he gets frustrated, like, I always work. I don't get to do anything, and you just get out and have fun and stuff like that. And it's like we're not friends, and it just makes things difficult. So I feel like I'm doing too much, but then I feel like if I stop, I'm going to be losing myself to him.
You know what I think, Laverne? This is just my opinion from hearing you. The fact that you were best friends at one time and then you got married, I feel like hearing you, what the sense I get is that there's resentment there from both parts, from his part and from your part. And whenever you have resentment, it's because you have unmet expectations.
Okay.
That you have these expectations. And in hearing you saying, you know, listen, you're trying to have, you work hard and you're trying to enjoy life, and you feel like he doesn't. So you have an expectation for him to meet certain needs, and those needs are to be with you when you're out.
It
sounds like you, it's not that you don't want to be with your friends, but you would love to have your husband accompany you and be there with you. So if you go out to dinner, you would like your husband there too, you know, if you're whatever. And so,
I mean, we date by ourselves, but it's not the same as, like, actually going out and just really having a good time.
Well, you want to be social. You sound like you're very social, and you want to do more than just, I guess, again, the expectations that you have, they're unmet. And I think the best thing that I can advise you right now is to make sure you're very clear about what those expectations are, because for some reason it might not be as clear as you think to your husband. So he might think, listen, you want to go out more, I'm taking you out. What's the problem? Now we're not going out with people. That's a problem. And it's going to seem like you're going into this vicious cycle of never being happy with what he does. And I want to go back to remembering, listen, you were best friends. Yeah. So there's a way to go back. And the Bible says, when it talks about our first love, and it refers to our love for Christ, it says, you know, do the things you used to do at first. And there were some things that you and your husband did that caused you to fall in love and be best friends. And I think that you got to go back to those things. But you got to realize, okay, what are those expectations that you have? And be clear. You might have to actually write them out and, you know, hopefully
it's
don't
like
overwhelm
him. It's like he's an old fart. He just don't want to do anything.
And that's what I mean when I said the resentment. You definitely have that.
And I'm going to tell you, I find my happiness. I'm cool. You know, you don't want to. I feel some type of way, but... I just want to enjoy my life. Life is short, and I don't want to be sitting home like the old lady in the shoe.
I hear you. So, now, let me tell you something, Laverne. I've counseled many couples, and I've sat with couples where the wives felt that way about their husbands. Mm-hmm. And as they got counseling and they got help, they realized it wasn't that the husbands didn't want to do certain things. It's that at some point they started assuming that the husband, like, I'll give you even a scenario. Like, I would say, hey, you know, do you guys, you know, my wife and I like to go and do salsa dancing. And you're like, yeah, I like to do that. And the wife would look, you want to go dance? What are you talking about? It's like, yeah, you've never asked. We've never talked about it.
Yeah, he don't want to do that.
And I'm just saying, like, but it might not be that. It might be something else that you might realize, wait a minute, what does he like to do? Because I'm sure he likes to do something. I mean, there's something he'll like to do. And so really thinking and praying about it. But I want to encourage you, Laverne, to be careful. And our theme scripture from Ephesians 5 talks about making sure that a wife is respectful to her husband, that although you're not happy and you're feeling like your needs are unmet, you is not a reason for you to be disrespectful to him.
Right.
You just want to be careful.
It's not, I don't think it's to that. I just try to help him understand that if you don't want to go out, I'm okay with that. Just be okay with me going out and having a nice time every now and then. Like that's,
but that's causing you to grow further apart, right? You have to come to a mutual understanding, because that's what marriage is about. Laverne, we're definitely going to be praying for you, but I encourage you, listen, plan it out. Get some input from women, not maybe single women, but women that are able to kind of lure their husbands in to do the right thing and to be happy together. Mm-hmm. Don't give up on your marriage, Laverne.
All right.
This is that was your best friend for a reason.
Yep.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for your call.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
God bless.
Take care. Let's go to Anna calling in from New York. Anna, good morning. Live on the air.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Good. New York City, the Big Apple. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling us this morning. What is your comment or question for us today?
Yes. Basically, I've been married for 7 years. Before, you know, when my husband and myself got married, we never had any type of intimacy. On our wedding night, he was not able to perform. From that point on, throughout our marriage, it suffered tremendously sexually. And for the last 7 years, I've been in pretty much a sexless relationship. I've been faithful, never cheated on him or anything. And we've tried so many things, from Viagra to whatever medicines that needed to be tried. Mm-hmm. But every time his excuse would be, oh, I'm overwhelmed from work. Oh, you know, because he was also divorced. And he has children that he sees probably every 3 or 4 months. And he's like, oh, well, I wish I could see my kids more. And there's always some excuse. But I've just been hanging in there for, like, the last 7 years. And I've come to the point now that I'm just ready to just divorce him and pretty much just move on, because we're really friends. We're, like, roommates. Mm-hmm. Because we don't really share much of an intimate relationship. I mean, every now and then it'll seem like it's taking off and things are getting better with us intimately, and then it just falls apart. And when it does, it just devastates me, because I've just been keeping hope alive for so long. And I just feel like, as a person, as a woman, I know that I'm beautiful. I know that I'm sexy. Other men are highly attracted to me. I've had several people make propositions to me, and I turned them down. And I just wanted to maintain my marriage and staying faithful to my husband. But at this point, I feel like I'm just dying. Like, I'm not getting the love in my marriage that I deserve. So I just wanted to know, at this point, is divorce, like, you know, because that's where I'm thinking that I should just divorce him at this point.
Well, let me ask you a question, Anna. Do you consider yourself a Christian?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because I think the scriptures are very clear about certain things. And one of them, number one, I definitely want to validate what you're saying, is it's not okay to be in a sexless marriage. The only time that would be okay is if you were both okay with it and you just would be fine. But you're not. You're obviously not okay. And the Bible is very clear about that the husband's body does not belong to him. Belongs to you, and vice versa. And so even if he had challenges, which he obviously does, the heart needs to be like, listen, we need to figure this out. We got to overcome this. And I know of couples in a lot worse situations who've been able to overcome. I mean, some who even have like physical disabilities and are still able to overcome and meet their spouse's needs because they're working together. And so it starts with the desire to have a desire. If that makes any sense. And so I think you're definitely right about that. I think the other aspect, though, is if you don't look at this as, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me here? and you don't look at it from a spiritual perspective, you might miss a really huge lesson. Like, have you ever asked, and I don't mean asking God, you know, just like, why God, but really like, God, what's the lesson here?
I'm like, God, well, I know I don't deserve this. I wanted to have a baby. Mm-hmm. We can't have a baby because we don't have sex enough and we don't have completed sex.
Okay.
So I really want to have a child, and the time is passing. I've already given up 7 years of my life. I have no baby with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, God, I've been doing everything in this marriage. I've been supporting him even when he could not perform. I've been encouraging him even during the times that I needed to be consoled. And it's just like, at this point, I just can only bear but so much. And
You feel like your husband loves you?
To be honest with you, I feel like he loves his children from his previous marriage more than he loves me, because his focus is always preoccupied with his children.
Now, and you didn't see any of these red flags before you married?
No, and I really did, and I thought maybe if we had our own baby that things would change, but 7 years later, there's no baby, and he's still holding on to, oh, I just feel like I need to see my children more. And then even when his children come around, I don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
When his children are around, I really don't exist. Like, he becomes oblivious to my needs. I mean, for example, my birthday was a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and his children were here, and he was so preoccupied with making them happy that I just really just took the back seat for my birthday. And I didn't mind, because I know that he needed to spend time with his children. But at the same time, I was like, I can't do this any longer. Like, my life should not be this way. I love the Lord. I worship. I pray all the time. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking for this clear answer from God to say, here's a new man, move on to him. I don't know. But I've just been really hoping and praying that my marriage would get better, and it's just getting worse. It's not getting any better.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're going to like this answer, because it's in the Bible, okay? This is not my words. These are not my words. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it actually talks about what would happen if you decide to divorce your husband. There's a lot that I would say the scripture has to say. And I think the first one is something that I would really be praying that your husband would take to heart. I don't know if he considers himself a Christian, but the Bible says in verse 3, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband, meaning that, you know, marriage is not just for procreation. I think that that's a misconception a lot of times in the church, that people think, oh, you know, you're only supposed to, you know, have intimacy, sexual intimacy, when you're trying to conceive. And it's like, no, there are other reasons. And that's one of the reasons. But there are reasons that, listen, you have needs. You obviously are craving for this love and affection. And with that, you also want to have your own family. So you're definitely in a very dangerous place, to be honest with you, Anna. Because you're very vulnerable, you even to the point where you're like, God, send me a man. And it's like, you have one. You have to be able to not lose hope and realize that this is the man you chose. If you believe that God led you to this man, then he is the husband. And if you divorce him, according to 1 Corinthians 7, then you are to remain alone, not to remarry, unless you reconcile with him, unless he were unfaithful. But according to what you're telling me, he's not going to be, because he really has no desire for sex, it sounds like.
Yeah, and we've actually, now it's come to the point, we've been separated for a year. We're not living together. And we haven't been living in the same household for one full year, and I've still remained faithful to this man, knowing that my needs are not being met sexually, it's not even sexually, it's just love and affection, someone telling you that you're beautiful, someone telling you warm, beautiful things as a woman, and just not having any of that. And I just feel so abandoned in my marriage.
So Anna, which one is it, though? Is it the sexual intimacy? Is it the words of affirmation? Because there has to be...
It's everything. It's just I don't feel loved from him. I feel like a flower that's not getting watered, that's not getting sunlight. It's not getting any type of attention, any love. It's just sitting there. And in his mind, it's okay. Like, you should just sit there and wait for me until I get myself together. But I'm like, it's been 7 years. Like, how much longer am I supposed to be patient with your situation?
And so, and I didn't know this part. So you've been separated for a year. Would you say that is there any desire for him to want to reconcile and say, hey, can we work on this marriage? Or does he sound pretty happy with the way things are?
Well, it almost seems like I'm begging him to come back home. I'm telling him, how long are you going to stay at your mother's house? You need to come back home so we can work on our marriage. And then he's telling me, okay, well, you're going to have to understand if I do come back that these are the terms, that you cannot put demands on me, you know, to perform sexually on a regular basis because I have issues. I have impotency issues, and I have to take the Viagra. I have to take medication to be able to perform.
Hey, Viagra could be a great blessing in this time. but let me tell you this, Anna. The honest truth is there's a spiritual lesson you need to learn here. Yeah. And I don't know why God does this sometimes, but He loves us, and we got to believe that, and He wants what's best for us. And sometimes He won't allow us to move on to the next thing or the next blessing in life until we learn a specific lesson. And so I don't know what that is for you exactly, other than you probably got to really submit your life to Christ. Just totally submit and trust and be like, God, I trust you, and I've put myself out there. Because if not, you're going to continue to be very miserable. And you're definitely very vulnerable. So I encourage you to listen, take that scripture, 1 Corinthians 7, meditate on it, pray about it, make it clear. And then at some point, if it's really not what he wants, then he will have to be the one to leave. And he'll be the one to divorce you. And then you'll be free. But if you decide to divorce him and he's not been unfaithful, according to the scriptures, you're not to remarry. So that's what the Bible says. But Anna, we thank you. We appreciate your openness, your vulnerability, and we'll definitely be praying for you. This is heavy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless. Thank you.
All right. Take care. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're having an open forum this morning, so you can ask whatever question you may have about your relationship. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Ricky calling in from Philadelphia. Ricky, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Well, Ricky, what's your comment or question for us this morning?
I just want to know, how do I take control back over my marriage? I have a wife. She seems to be totally addicted to having control of everything.
A control freak?
Yes.
You're married to a control freak. Well, what? Give us an example of something she does that you feel like she's trying to be in control.
Everything. If she's not in control, if it don't go her way, then there's no way. And she's have an attitude.
I mean, come on. How bad is it? Does she have to be the one to drive the car all the time?
No.
Drives, does she have to be the one to tell you where to go
all the time?
And what if she says make a left and you don't and you make a right? What happens?
Then she'll totally have an attitude. She'll feel some type of way. She thinks it's me trying to be submissive. I mean, me trying to be controlling when it's just her. And I'll be trying to tell her sometimes you got a reason.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, a long time. We've been married 4 years now, and probably about 4 years, I say, the whole marriage. And it's just getting crazy. It's just getting a little, like, crazy. I can't plan nothing because if she didn't have nothing to... I can't surprise her because if I surprise her, and if she had nothing to do with planning it, then, oh, man, it's bad. Mother's Day, I had a whole surprise, you know, plan set up for her, and it just went to crumbles because she wanted to know what we were doing. I really wanted to surprise her and take her, you know, some places, and we wind up going nowhere. Like, I'm tired of just giving into it all the time. I want to just, you know, sometimes romance said, where's my idea? And I can't because she want to...
She wants what you're saying. She's a control freak. She's trying to be in control. Well, I think a couple of things, Ricky. Number one, it would be, it's difficult to help you in this without hearing her side, right? Like what's her reason? But have you made that clear? Have you said to her, listen, I'm fed up with this. You are always trying to be in control. What's her response? Does she see it?
And it's not just our relationship she ruins. She ruins a lot of other relationships.
But does she see it? Like, I think there are times where people see it, man, I gotta stop this. I don't know why. And other times they're just so oblivious. They're blinded. They think it's everyone else. Which one is it? Does she see it or not?
I think she sees it when I get so upset. And I get so upset to the point that I'm just going to shut down. Like you can't have it all your way. And then she sees it for that day, and then she's right back to being a coach.
Yeah, so it hasn't become a conviction, and that's what usually has to happen.
Yeah, I believe it has. Because I just seen that for the first time, too, where she did something, and it wasn't to me, but it was to somebody else. She wanted to control something, and it did. And I think they got on top of her, and she kind of seen it, and she just sat in the corner like, man, maybe this is true, you know. And it's bad though. I can't really explain it, but it's bad.
Well, this is what you do, Ricky. I mean, she's your wife. You love her. I think it's you know, sometimes people have to see it on their own. You know, a lot of times we want to help people more than they want the help. And it just doesn't work. You know, it's like you have a great friend and you're trying to help him to get a job and he just won't go to the interview. I mean, you just can't help him. You know, if you're trying to help someone get married and they won't even go on dates. I mean, you can't help them. And I think that you realize that right now there's some things you are not going to be able to help your wife, but you can support her through this. And I tell you how you support her. I think the first thing, Ricky, is you got to make sure you're praying about this constantly.
Of course.
You're bringing it before God. And then afterwards, help her with the situations that don't involve you. Because it's different when you're the outsider. See, when it's about you, it's difficult, right? It's just hard for us to see it from the person that we're having the issue with. But if it's costing her friendships, if it's costing her grief in some relationships, then say, listen, honey, let me be honest with you. This is how it feels, but this is what you're doing. And then offer some solutions.
And you know, if I do that, it becomes a problem between us.
So she doesn't want to see it.
Exactly. You know? And then she's shutting down, not talking to me, because I try to, you know, I try to show her, like, look, you can't say, and then she think I'm siding with that person. When I'm not siding with that person, I'm just showing you facts. Like, you can't be just trying to control everything. Everything is not going to go your way all the time.
Well she might need counseling. And I tell you, one of the things that counseling is good for is that people go there and they're willing to hear something. But I tell you what, Ricky, at least encourage her to call me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this way, you know, she might not be happy that you called, but say, listen, because if she calls me and then when she calls, remind me of the situation. Say, hey, my husband called and he says I'm the control freak. And that way, if she's at least willing to listen to someone, to me, that's the first step. Now, you can't control that, right? You know, she might decide not to call or call whenever she wants. It's on her. But I want you to offer some solutions.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Mm-hmm. And we thank you for that. But I'm very curious to hear her side as well.
All right. I'll do that, okay?
All right, Ricky. We really appreciate you calling this morning.
All right, thanks.
God bless.
Take care. All right, let's go to, I think John is next, calling in from Charlotte. John, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Marcus.
Hey, John. John Augustine, right?
Yep.
How you doing, my brother?
I'm telling you, this is crazy. I haven't spoken to you in forever, and now I have two calls.
Yeah, man, now you just want to call. You know, you can call me when I'm not on the air, too, man.
I know.
But that is good to hear from you, my brother. For all those who are wondering, John Augustine, I've known him for over 20 years, and we haven't probably not spoken in about 20 years, so that's pretty interesting.
Well, not exactly, but yeah.
Probably. It's been a long time. But I tell you, we've stayed friends on Facebook. Thank God for social media. But all right, so you mentioned to our producer that you actually had a comment about our previous caller. I believe it was Anna, the one that shared about being in a sexless marriage.
Yeah, you know, you've had so many great conversations. I want to comment on everything, but pick Anna, because I think it's you know, it's such a difficult situation, and it, and to me, a lot of it seems a bit odd, because what I find is a lot of times, you know, men are sexually driven most mm-hmm. of the time. You know, that's just
usually the case, right? Where men are usually the roles are reversed, right? Where the men are like, man, my wife is just not, you know, giving me enough sex.
Absolutely. So whenever I see situations where men are not as driven, and it sounds like he's not willing to even put in the effort to be driven, you know, you always wonder, you know, what's going on. So I think Anna needs to really start digging in and try to figure out what's going on. It may be because of the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I've a lot of the times people, you know, after having a situation with kids, they're afraid of having more kids, and then they're afraid of connecting physically mm-hmm. because it will produce kids.
It's possible. I mean, we don't know, right? We don't know what's going on in the mind of her husband. But what you mentioned earlier, it is odd, and that's one of the first things that I try to do is understand that she's right in feeling frustrated about this. I mean, it's not okay. You know, we weren't going to say, hey, just be grateful you have a husband. It's like, no, that's not what marriage is about. Her husband's pulled back and he's not giving. You hear me?
Yeah. It definitely is a selfish act. So, I mean, I felt it was one of those things that I want to just encourage Anna to just to dig in deeper, find out what's going on, because there's more to it. Because, you know, unless this has always been the case, and I'm sure if it was, he would have shared that with her before they got married. Because if that wasn't the case, and something else is going on. I mean, he's having that needs met somewhere else. You know, I've known so many men that have struggled with pornography and other things like that, that have really stolen.
Well, you know what it is? In that particular situation, I don't know. I don't know right. what it is. But one thing I can say is what I was trying to help her to see is that when we have these situations and we just don't have answers, we got to remember there's always a spiritual perspective because God's in control.
Absolutely.
And if we truly believe that, then it's like, God, why? Like at the beginning of our show, right before we took any calls, I had mentioned to Tiffany what was her, you know, if she could ask God anything, what would she ask? And she said, God, I just want to know who's the man, you know, who's the guy? And then I said, well, you know, what if God gives you an answer that it's not what you want? Like, and I gave the example about Hosea and who God told specifically to go marry a prostitute. That's crazy. I mean,
right.
Can you imagine, you know, you're asking God. And so in this case, here's Anna who's saying, God, I want this husband. I want this man. And she marries him. And now man won't want to sleep with her. It's like, what in the world? But I'm sure there's a reason why God is allowing this. And maybe it's just to teach her unconditional love. Maybe it's to mold her character because she also sounds very set in her ways. I mean, again, we don't have all the answers. And every situation might be different, but there are some things that just don't have easy solutions. Some do, right? Some are like, listen, you just got to stop being a jerk, repent, be humble, and your marriage will get better. But other times, it's like, listen, you could do everything right, and there's still something else to learn. It's like, what are you saying? And at the end of the day, if we believe God is sovereign and God's in control, then he's got to take care of it because we can't. We can't take some matters into our own hands. If she tries to, she'll end up having an affair. I mean, she won't do the right thing. And she's in danger, and she's very close, I'll be honest with you. She's in a very vulnerable place. All she needs to do is share this situation with the wrong guy, and he'll take advantage of the situation.
Absolutely. I also wanted to just quickly, I know that a lot of callers are there, the Rick's situation, which is right after Anna, not his situation per se, but just in general. I mean,
the control freak,
you know, being married to a control freak and hearing it from one end, you know, a lot of the times, you know, you'll hear husbands, they'll say, oh, you know, my wife is a control freak. You know, we've heard that conversation already. And a lot of the times I go back to that Ephesians 5 scripture that you started off with. and you start digging in, and a lot of the times the issue is not as cut and dry as that. Usually there's something bigger. You know, mm-hmm. the husband is not submitting to the wife like you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. The husband is having a hard time meeting her needs. You know, she may not feel comfortable with him leading because the things that he's leading is not meeting her needs emotionally. Or, you know, she feels that when she lets him do things, he makes choices that are not in her benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying Rick is doing that specifically. I'm just saying in general, it's a thing that I think happens a lot. Men will give up on their marriages or will think that they're married to an impossible woman, when in fact, the reality is that they have been not meeting their wives' needs.
Oh yeah, a lot of times is a two-way street. You know, we most of the time only hear one side of the story, so we can only comment on that side. But you're right, and I'm sure if we dig deep enough, there are things that Ricky could do differently. But I think what he said that really got me thinking is that this is obviously not just a situation with him, but it's affecting other relationships. And usually that's the case. There are patterns. And I think at this point, he's just going to have to really love his wife and be supportive and pray that she sees it, because you can't force someone to see something that they're just not ready to see right now.
No.
And that's what it sounds like. And I'm like, man, this one, the Bible says there's some things that only come out by prayer and fasting. You know, some demons just what you have to fight on your knees, and you have to fast before God before something changes. And it sounds like one of those situations where it's not easily overcome because she's a deep character issue. I tell you, the biggest lesson I learned about marriage is that we have to persevere. We didn't marry someone perfect, and they didn't marry someone perfect. Just like we have to persevere with them, there are things that have to persevere with us. But if we love God, if we are striving to be our best, we will repent. We will get it. Maybe not right away. And I tell you, I'm on the other end. There are things that my wife has prayed for me to change that she would try to tell me, and it just sounded like a nag. And then she just got on her knees, and then I would come and be like, wow, God is teaching me this lesson. And she's like, that's crazy. I've been trying to tell you this forever, but now I prayed about it and God showed it to you. And I take it so much better. I mean, I wish I could tell you I was super humble and everything my wife says, I just listen. But sometimes God has to make things really clear, and then I get it. I'm slow like that sometimes.
Well, God had to be patient with us.
Absolutely.
He gave us the will to make that decision, mm-hmm. and he was very patient. And I think a lot of the times when I think of Ephesians as a husband, I have to think, you know, yeah, that's what God did. If I want my wife to change, I you know, God didn't just say change. He died.
Yeah.
He sacrificed. He loved.
Absolutely. All right. Well, John, well, thank you so much. We appreciate you calling in this morning.
Yes. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Hey, listen, if you're on the line, we need you to hold on for just a few minutes. And if you're not on the line yet, we'd love to hear from you. So reach out to us at 855-454-5905. It's an open forum today, and we'd love to hear whatever question you have about your relationship. So give us a call, 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.